Greetings and welcome to Life Construction Zone at Blog Talk Radio, Spiritual Bricks to Rebuild Lives, one brick at a time. God bless you. Good evening. This is Apostle Ernestine Cooper of Eagles Life Rebuilding Center, and I'd like to welcome you and to our life lessons for tonight. We're bringing you tools that you will need on a daily basis just to rebuild your foundation, the foundational ground, the bricks that's needed to strengthen your temple. Is in the word of God. So get your pads and pens and let's get started on our building tonight. We're in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. And we're going to be talking about seeking wise counsel. When we go to Proverbs chapter 16, also, we're going to be going to Corinthians 25, so just prepare yourself to move about in the scripture if you want to follow us in the scripture. So Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1, the scripture says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fools doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness." Verse 10, "Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men?" Now we go to verse 20. And it reads as follows: "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother." Go over to the 25th chapter. And let's start with verse 28. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls." Now, let us go to 1 Corinthians. Trying to cover our scriptures before we get started in our lesson. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll read verse 25, 26, 27. And it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beareth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Alphabet, letters, vowels, and consonants, they're forms of words, and they form sentences and paragraphs and books. And they are spoken. They're signed, sign language. They're whispered. They're written and they're printed. And from friendly advice to not so friendly advice, from passion speeches to high energy pulpit sermons, and from the Holy Bible to dusty volumes of unread books and pulpit sermons, and from the Holy Bible to dusty volumes of disgraceful daily tabloids, messages are sent and received, with each sender trying to impart some sort of knowledge and wisdom onto the person that's receiving it. So, in our human makeup is a desire to learn and to understand. Our mind sets us apart from animals, and we analyze, we theorize, We discuss and we debate everything from one thing to the other, from science to that which is supernatural. So with every one person, we know more than the other. We all seem to think that we know more. So we build schools, we build institutes and universities where learned professors can teach us about the world and about life. And knowledge is good, but there's a large difference between knowledge, which is having the facts, and wisdom, which is applying those facts to life. You can have the knowledge, but if you don't apply the knowledge, then there's no wisdom, right? So we may receive knowledge, but without wisdom, our knowledge is useless. We have to learn how to live out the things that we know. And the Apostle James tried to bring this knowledge home when he told the church in Asia, don't just hear the word, but be a doer of the word. Do them. Don't just hear them. Don't just read them. Don't just preach them, but do them. So a proverb is a short, concise sentence that conveys moral truth. So the book of Proverbs is a collection of these wise statements from the wisest man in the world, Solomon. The main theme of Proverbs, as we might expect, is the nature of true wisdom. Wisdom is getting wise counsel. And so some scripts, Solomon writes, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Only fools despise wisdom and discipline. It is said that it's best to counsel a wise man or than to counsel a fool, because the fool don't want to hear it. You find yourself getting in trouble just by giving them counsel because they don't want to hear what you have to say. We make our own plans, but guess what? The Lord gives the right answer. Just because things don't work out the way you hoped they would does not mean that God is not in the plan. A godly man or woman knows without a doubt that God is in total control of their lives. Sometimes we try to do things our own way and they don't work out. And we say, well, you know what? Why did the Lord allow this to happen? Well, we did not get first counsel from the Lord before we took off and did a lot of these things. And if God is in the plan, it will work out. So in the first verse, he's telling them, we could make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. So we have to ask God, seek wise counsel. And the second verse, he's talking to people who may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. You may think that, okay, I got this together. I got all the knowledge. I went to school. I've learned this. I've learned that. And I just basically want to see things done right. But there's a motive behind a lot of actions, and God himself knows that motive. Most people never see their own faults, but they see error in everyone else. It's a safe bet that if you see everyone is wrong, then the error can't be in the other. It's got to be in you. If every time you encounter someone or you go somewhere and basically it's the same thing, these people are wrong, I'm leaving, I'm going here, somebody's wrong, and it doesn't have to be that person. If everybody else is wrong, then you need to rethink or just take a second look at yourself. And number three, we have to commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. God has his own plan for our lives. Scripture says we were created that he would get the glory and the joy out of our lives, and he can't get any joy out of our lives if we're not following his plan. When you want to do something and you do it in a certain way, your way, it is not probable that you're going to ask God for direction. If we ask God for direction and we follow his direction, we're guaranteed to succeed. God will provide for your journey. If he sends you on the journey, he will provide for it. But most times if we take this journey, it's a feeling or a notion or some desire on the inside that we want to do, but we haven't sought counsel for that journey. And when it doesn't work out or there's no provisions for the journey, then God himself did not send us to the journey. The Lord has made everything for his own purpose, even the wicked, for a day of disaster. Listen, we're created for God's own purpose. We all have a reason for our existence and a purpose. Our good deeds and godly lifestyles goes rewarded, and our bad deeds will be rewarded also. You will fulfill your purpose no matter who or what are bad. If hell is your destiny, then that's where you're going to end up at. Doesn't matter.
God is still in control and in charge. Everything is in the master's very capable hands. Everything. Everything is moving by the power of God. And so Solomon was given this proverb of wisdom. In verse 6, he says, the Lord detests the proud, and they will surely be punished. Pride causes a person to lose respect and reverence to authority and leadership. Why? Because pride says, I know more than you. What are you trying to tell me? And there are people that think, I know more than anybody else. You know, I've learned more. I have a bachelor's, a master's, a doctorate, whatever in this. And I graduated summa cum laude, and I'm the best. I'm the smartest. I graduated with honors. So I know better than you. They resist God as well as man. They don't want to hear from you. Definitely not going to hear from God. God is a spirit. So you're human and you're there. So they're not going to hear from you either. So the man and the woman that God placed over them, it's hard for them to sit under leadership because they think, I know better. I know more than my pastor. I know more than my leaders. So why am I here? So it's hard for them to sit in one place. So guess what? Because they won't hear godly counsel, they won't hear from the leaders or those that God placed over them, they will be punished. That's what Solomon said. The Lord detests the proud, and they surely will be punished. One scripture says that pride comes before the fall. Of course, you're on your way out of here when you allow pride to take control of your proudness, to take control of your life, because it's going to govern you and make you make all kind of foolish mistakes. In verse 6, he says, unfailing love and faithfulness make atonement for sin. By fearing the Lord, people avoid evil. Receive God's gift of salvation, and you will have much reverence and respect for God, to the point that you will do all that you can to run from evil. You'll seek wise counsel. You won't hear from people that say, well, if I were you, I would. And they're not you, and they probably wouldn't either. But they're telling you to do it. So you have to seek wise counsel, people that will pray and say, let's seek God on this, or send you to the right person that's going to give you the right wisdom that you need to move forward, not giving you counsel from their emotions or from their within them or their feelings. If I were you, you know, when people start talking that way and counsel, you need to get up and run away from them. Verse 7, when people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. If you live a life pleasing to God, even the ones who want to hate you, they have to find themselves caring about you and wanting to help you. Even those who wanted to see you dead or destroyed are now wanting to be your friend. Why? Because your ways and your lives, the things you're doing, are pleasing to God. You're not a backstabber. You're not one that's seeking and causing discord. You're not a talebearer. You're not one that's stirring up strife between people, but you're one to keep peace. You don't find you in the midst of the wrong conversation, and you're not somewhere you should not be. You're not talking one thing and doing something. It's not being a hypocrite. One, talking one thing and living something else. People like to take that word hypocrite and use it like it rolls off their tongue, like it was just made to come off their tongue. They have no understanding of the true meaning of that word when they themselves are being hypocrites, because you're talking about people, that person you're calling hypocrite, and as soon as they come into your presence, hi, how you doing? It's so good to see you. Now, who's the biggest hypocrite? And so wise counsel is very important. When you need the will of God to be prevalent in your life, it's now. It's right now, today. We need it more so than ever. And even your enemies, they can't even come against you or find themselves liking you and doing things for you. And I'm telling you, I'm a witness to that. They won't even know why you're so into their heart. They won't even know why they love you so much. But God will give you that love. And because you already love them, they don't understand that your love is what softened their heart. You still have that love in you for them, whether they hate you or not. That's what verse 8, Solomon says, better to have little with godliness than to be rich with dishonest. Wow. Some people, their wealth and their riches is everything they got. That's them. Some are not wealthy. They're not rich in the sake of having millions of dollars, but they have a few dollars. and they have a nice car and they have a nice house and some clothes and jewelry. So now they consider themselves rich. And so now it, but Solomon says it's better to have a little and be godly than to have a lot and be dishonest. And those people that are so crazy and so in love with their money and their things are not trustworthy. You can't trust them because those are the type of people that would do anything for money, and they can't be trusted. So people see folk with money, and immediately they think that those people have arrived. Oh, that's it. The Lord is blessing them, but the Bible says that evildoers prosper too. So, you know, just because you have wealth and money, Jesus said to the rich ruler, give it up and follow me. Sell everything you got. Give it to the poor. Now come follow me. But he couldn't do that. Folk are not willing to give up their things and their possessions and their money to follow nobody, not even the Savior, not even for their soul salvation. But not everyone with money or wealth receives it from the Lord. There are people that get it dishonestly. They get it by deception. They get it by embezzlement. I mean, it's not always something, you know, that God has blessed them with. Selling drugs to people to destroy their lives. You know, you get enriched, but you're destroying somebody else's life. God is not pleased with that. So he said, the wicked are not just in their ways, and they cannot receive anything from God. Evildoers can't receive nothing from God. If you're going to get counsel, make sure you get counsel from people that are godly people, knowing who God is and serving God with your whole heart, with your whole mind, and with your whole soul. I mean, knowledge is good, but there is a large difference between knowledge and having the facts and wisdom and using the facts. I mean, your head could explode with knowledge, but if it's just there in your head and you never use it, it don't benefit you nothing. Verse 9, it says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. When you make plans or you try to go into a certain direction and you seem to be running into a brick wall, you need to know that God has the final word, even in that situation. He's the one that decides. If you say you're a child of God and the Lord order my steps, and you tell him to order your steps, and you need to follow the steps that he has ordered for you and not your own steps. Those plans that you've made for yourself, they're not always going in the direction that God wants to take you in. And so that plan comes to nothing, it's because you're going in the wrong direction. The king speaks, verse 10 says, the king speaks with divine wisdom. He must never judge unfairly. A leader has to always judge fairly and with integrity in all matters. You cannot show favoritism and partiality in any situation, and a lot of people do. That is so out of the will of God. Not your mom, not your dad, not your children, not your husband or your wife. Nothing should stop you from being fair in your judging and impartial. You have to be. You have to be with integrity. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Call a liar, and sin, sin. No matter who's using it, no matter who's doing it, no matter who's speaking it, it's still wrong. If it's wrong in the eyes of God, it doesn't matter. You need to tell them. The soul out of hell, you need to let them know. That's wrong. That's sin. You're in error. Verse 11, the Lord demands accurate scales and balances to set the standard for fairness. When you follow God's laws and precepts, you will be fair. And guess what? You will be full of integrity, and your words will surely be seasoned with grace. You want to spit anything out of your mouth at people. You be careful, like Solomon said, be slow to speak and slow to wrath. You be careful how you turn an answer. Some people think as soon as somebody say something to them, you got to have a snap and a quick comeback. Sometimes it's best just to think about it. Just hold it to yourself and don't speak yet, because you don't want to speak words out of your mouth that you can't take back. Once they're out in the atmosphere, they're gone. And you can't take them back. And saying I'm sorry sometimes don't remove the stain. You know, the person might say, okay, I accept your apology, but the stain is still there. And they will hear those words until the Lord removes them from their heart. So you can't be fair with some and hard on others. You must be even-keeled at all times. Seeking wise counsel is what we have to understand that's pertinent today And God is telling us, don't just go flying off the handle and doing something, following the wrong leadership, following what sounds good, it feels good. We're not in that world of if it feels good, do it. Not the saints of God. And so we go down to verse 16. It says, how much better to get wisdom than gold and good judgment than silver? All the gold and silver in the world cannot equal to the value of wisdom. So without wisdom, it becomes a fool's gold and a trickster's silver. How about that? A fool's gold and a trickster's silver. So it's nothing. And the thing that you don't understand is when you leave this earth, the only thing you're going to take with you is the body, the soul goes to its eternal resting place, wherever God sends it. The spirit goes back to God, and what? That body goes back to the earth from whence it came. And who has the gold and the silver but those people that are back here, that you left back here fighting over what you hoarded over and stole and lied and cheated to get, and now you're on your way to burn in hell, and they're back here spending your gold and your silver. Verse 17, the path of the virtuous leads away from evil. Whoever follows that path is safe. A wise person will follow those who are good and have good character and who will not fall into the traps of evil. You can feel safe and secure in living free from wickedness if you follow after wise counsel, if you follow after the one that's living accordingly and living upright with the scriptures. Pride goes before destruction, and the haughtiness before a fall. Verse 18, when someone is caught up in pride, you will watch them fall. They'll fall directly into destruction, and with a high spirit, they're on their way down. You will see them. It goes because of their high head up in the air, not looking any way but straight ahead, not thinking about nobody and nothing. I got this. I don't need you. I don't need your help. I don't need your prayers. I don't need your conversation. I got this. And then fall straight into a hole because their head is up in the air. Pride, yeah, goes before destruction. Haughtiness, head up before the fall. Before you fall, that's where you at. You see yourself walking around like that, you better come down, my brother, my sister, because you're on your way out. Right. Amen. And so when someone is caught up in pride, that's what you need to understand. You will catch them and you will see them and watch them on their way back down. Verse 19, better to live humbly with the poor than to share plunder with the proud. Those who listen to instruction with those who trust the Lord will be joyful. Humility, it will prepare you to follow good instruction towards wealth, joy, and health. And this is what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9, 25 and 27. In one of Paul's letters to the church at Corinth, he taught them many things. And so in this letter, my key focus is the end of the lesson where it says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. Plain English. They do it to win a prize. They will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might. Winning a race requires purpose and discipline. We all know our purpose, and that is to do the will of the Father. Solomon said, everything else is vanity. All that is a man is in a man is that he served the Lord with his whole heart, mind, and soul for the rest of his days. So that he will get the joy out of our lives. That's what God is looking for. Paul teaches the church that the Christian's life takes hard work. It takes self-denial, self-discipline, and grueling preparation. As Christians, we're running toward our heavenly reward. The most crucial disciplines of prayer are Bible study and worship, Bible study and worship, Bible study and worship, prayer, Bible study and worship, which will give you the vigor and the stamina that you need. You need that to run this race. If you don't prepare for the race, you'll fail every time. Don't just be an onlooker in the grandstand and cheering people, yay, come on, run, run, run. And don't just show up to take a couple of laps every morning. Train diligently, morning and night. Your spiritual progress depends on you. Start seeking wise counsel. It's important as saints and as people of God to understand that we need wisdom. We need on this journey. Knowledge is not enough, because there are people that have knowledge, but they're not doing anything with it. Knowledge is not enough on this journey. We need wise counsel. God bless you. We're so glad that you joined us for this brief lesson tonight on seeking wise counsel. I'm just hoping that those that are listening, that we would just begin to be mindful of the people that we listen to and the words that we follow after, because people can make their mouths say anything and they can try to show proof of everything. You can turn anything in any situation around. People have turned the Bible around to fit their purpose. And so people can change things around and make it fit their purpose and it'll sound good to you. But make sure that you yourself have a connection with the Lord God Almighty, our Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, the true and the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator of the whole world. Make sure that you have a connection with him. But when you hear those things, you will either be able to judge between the truth and between the lie, and you'll follow after the truth. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the listening audience that we have here tonight. We thank you for those that will listen even at a later time. We ask, Father God, that you will bless them with courage, bless them with wisdom and knowledge in all things. Allow them, Father God, to be able to discern and to see, Father God, and to be able to speak those things that are given, Lord God, of you, Lord God, to be able to take the knowledge that they have learned, Father God, of you, and the knowledge they have learned of the world, and use it wisely, Lord God. Teach them how to walk in wisdom and in truth. And Father, we bless you for it. We thank you, and we say amen. God bless you. To our listening audience, have a blessed and a Jesus-filled night.